8 a.m. Sunday morning, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on all of our Facebook pages live. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line. And we're here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Producer and sports radio personality Chris Magnum Chapman is here. And am I left on your radio dial, hooking us up on Facebook Live and adding his dos pesos at every given opportunity, is Jose Valente, whose podcast, Straight Bet Sports, is definitely worth checking out. Follow the show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook. It's even easier to remember. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Hey, without you, there is no show. So if you got something to say, the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Yeah, What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. A great place to watch every game. Jose, what is on tap, brother?
First of all, we do know that the World Cup Championship game is going on right now as we speak. We will be giving you updates throughout the hour to let you know what's going on in the game as well. Not only that, this week in Nightcap, it's all about number 29, Flower Power. He will be staying for another three more years. We'll be talking about that as well. Not only that, NBA Summer League is winding down. If you have not made it out to the Thomas and Mack or the Cox Pavilion, go and check it out. We've been covering it. We'll give you our 2 cents. And a few former UNLV players are trying to make their way onto some NBA rosters, if you did not know. Brian talked to one of them yesterday, Rashard Vaughn. He's trying to become a member of the 2018 Miami Heat. We've also got you covered with Fact This, Blazing. Not only that, Jim Gemma will join us from the Las Vegas 51s to give us a 51s report today. And of course, the show is only an hour. We know you're comfortable on the couch. Relax. Leave the radio where it is. We got you. It's Sunday morning in Las Vegas, and it's Out of Line. What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. Yes, that means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
Facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed.
Facts. It's a fact. The 2018 FIFA World Cup Championship game between France and Croatia has begun and is being played as we speak right now. Hey, we're watching it here in the studio, and we will be talking about it to start the show and updating you throughout. This is because, other than in the United States, soccer or European football is the most popular sport in the world, like it or not. And this is soccer's Super Bowl. And guys, rolling this out, I want to let you know that I checked out, you know, me and my, I do this stupid due diligence all the time to try to keep up with these guys because, you know, when it comes to soccer, I don't know my ass from a hole in the ground. That's about the truth. But I'm learning. And what I do know is there's a recent Gallup poll, a 2018 Gallup poll, and pretty much, let's say, from the ages of 16 to 54, do you know that soccer ranked as more popular than baseball and hockey in this country? Basketball and football have them beat. Now, when you get over 55, you know, guys like Bill over here to my right, I wouldn't know anything about that. But you know, they say that it is overwhelming baseball over soccer, like 14% to 1%. And so people like us say, those Gallup polls, do they know what the hell? You know, in 2016, there was a Gallup poll that said Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States.
That worked out all right.
So I don't know about Gallup polls, whole great deal. But the bottom line is, I do believe that soccer is growing exponentially in popularity in this country.
Well, it's pretty easy to figure out why. You know, you mentioned the demographics of that poll, and here's the thing. You know, a lot of people talk about the declining ratings of the NFL, and people think, oh, well, we protested because those guys knelt and that hurt the ratings. No, those people fail to tell you that the ratings for NASCAR fell 30% more in the last decade. So it's a decline in TV viewers in general, not just specific sports, because there's so many options. But the thing with soccer, and a big reason why it's growing with the younger generation, you don't have to plan your whole day around it. You know, you get up on a Sunday morning and you watch an NFL game that starts at 10 o'clock. That game doesn't end until 1 o'clock. And that's if there's overtimes. How many commercial breaks are you sitting through? Think about it. Team A scores a touchdown, right? PAT, commercial, kickoff, commercial. You've gone through 10 minutes of real time before you get another real play. People don't want that anymore. People want to be able to sit down and you watch soccer. They have the sponsor. Well, they don't have it here during the World Cup finals. But, you know, like when you watch the Premier League on a Saturday morning, first of all, the games come on early, so you have the whole
day
ahead of you.
You got the subliminal sponsor in the corner,
yeah,
up in the corner like a little highlight, and that's the way they sponsor.
Budweiser or,
right,
or Kodak. Kodak,
I got you.
Are they even still around? You know, but like, you know, Apple maybe, you know, whatever. They have the sponsor up in the corner, so they're getting their viewers. People are picking up on the logo, but you don't have to interrupt the game. You get 45 minutes of a game, and people will question whether there's action or not. And look, unless you really understand the game, there's action. Even though there's not scoring, there's stuff going on that make it interesting to watch. It's like a buildup. You know, it's like when you watch a boxing match and a guy will come out and he'll throw a couple jabs in the first few rounds, kind of feeling out his opponent. But there's so much strategy that goes into these games. But the big reason, like I said, is it's growing with the younger generation. They know. Game comes on at 7 a.m. By 9 o'clock, game's over.
Not only that, video games right now are huge. A lot of people are on FIFA, especially the younger
generation. There's no question.
That's another thing that even if you don't really watch soccer, people are becoming soccer fans and knowing these players because of the video games that they're playing.
There's no question about it. I saw it with my son, not in soccer, but in baseball. Somebody asked him a question about the Baltimore Orioles. I haven't followed that team at all this year
much.
But the point is, they do. He knew the lineup just because he plays so much this interactive internet that he knows all the players who's injured. I'm like, how do you know all that?
Well, fantasy baseball is big, but To jump on Jose's point, there's no baseball video game for Xbox. If you have an Xbox, they haven't. I have Xbox One. They have not made a baseball game for Xbox in 2 seasons.
It's not popular.
Now for PlayStation, they have one, but they don't have one for Xbox. So, you know, the NBA 2K is very popular. But, you know, I think there is a correlation. You know, people play the soccer game because it's quick. You could play a game in 15 minutes and you're done.
I think that the soccer leagues that are infiltrating the country right now, you know, we're getting the lights here. I think we're really seeing that infiltration of the MLS, and I think that's what's growing this league. And you are seeing a lot of younger generation people that do want to get involved in soccer. They're paying attention. I really started getting into it in the last World Cup when the United States made the round of 16, and it got exciting for me. And so, you know, but then I forgot about it again until this World Cup. And because of these two guys in here with me, I'm listening to. We got someone on the phone.
Yeah, Frank.
Frank, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man? I just want to say I love the show. Love what you guys are doing, you and Jose. Keep it up, man. I just want to talk a little bit real quick about some World Cup. Just want to let you guys know I'm rooting for France out there. But same time, man, wouldn't be mad if Croatia won a first World Cup. I'd be proud for them, especially what their country went through 27 years ago.
Yeah.
A little fun fact, I don't know if you guys know, but World Cup trophy is the only trophy that's actually solid gold. So that's how big soccer is, nationwide, international sport, with a completely solid gold trophy. With that being said, I just want to leave you guys with this. I kind of agree with what Jose has said a while back. We got to embrace and support every sport that comes to Vegas. With that in mind, WNBA, soccer, hockey, of course, Golden Knights, and make sure you get in tune with the Raiders when they do hit town. And still looking for that baseball team and the basketball team that's going to hit. But I want to let you guys go this morning. I'm going to get back to this game, and I appreciate what you guys are doing. Keep up the good job.
Hey, appreciate you, Frank. Thanks for the phone call. And, you know, talking about the World Cup and what's going on right now in this game here, and I was going to ask you guys, you know, I watched the semifinals. I recorded both of them so I could see them from front to back. Seeing the game with France, and Samuel Umtiti gets the only goal for them in that game. But what I saw with France in that game, number one, they kept talking about how they were the second youngest team of all the teams to compete in the World Cup this year. And it's scary to think how young they are and how good they're going to be for a while. And number two, what I saw in that game, and I hadn't watched France. It's the second time I've seen them in the World Cup. But this guy, what is it? Is it Lloris? Is the guy? Is their goaltender's name?
Hugo Lloris.
Lloris. Oh, my God, man. This guy is unbelievable. And, you know, he makes saves that I think maybe only two other goaltenders I've seen so far or goalies in the World Cup can make. And I think that, how good is it when you've got a team that is so conditioned and youthful like France, and then you've got that as your last line of defense? They're going to be a real tough out today, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And you know, Croatia, I think, has a chance because they've proven that the entire tournament, people have been down on them. You know, they've kind of been, I don't want to say an underdog team, but they were very lucky. I don't want to say lucky. They were fortunate to make the World Cup because they were literally a goal away from being eliminated before they even got to the World Cup in their European qualifying. They needed a late goal to tie Finland. Otherwise, they would have not even made the playoff to get into the World Cup. They made the playoff. They crushed Greece. They had no problem there. But they've looked really good. And I think the reason they have a chance is they've got a better midfield. Luka Modric and Ivan Rakitic are two of the best midfielders in the world. They play for two of the best club teams in the world, Real Madrid and Barcelona, respectively. And I think, you know, France's youth could be an issue. You know, Croatia's an experienced team. They've got a lot of guys who have, you know, played at very high levels, as have the French. But I think the youth, it may be a hindrance today because Croatia's an experienced team. And they've got some really good players. And, hey, you mentioned Lloris. How about the Croatia goalie?
Yeah.
The Croatian goalie who injured himself in the game against Russia. They couldn't sub him because they had already used all their subs. And then he goes into the PK shootout, and they end up winning.
I know. It's crazy.
So it's pretty incredible to think that, you know, this guy could end up winning a World Cup, although France threatening now. But
well, France is going to be on the attack in this game. We already know that. What's amazing to me is, you know, a country like Croatia being so small, formerly Yugoslavia, you know, as they broke up the factions, but that's what's really cool to me. It's another severe underdog. They were 24-1 to win the World Cup when the thing started, and here they are in the championship game. And on the other side with France, what's pretty cool is their coach. And I mentioned that before the show, so you guys know that now. Mags knew it, but something I was amazed. My man Volonté here didn't know, but the coach of France, Didier Deschamps. How do you say that?
Didier Deschamps.
Deschamps. He is, if France does win, he will be the first ever player to play in the World Cup and win a World Cup and coach a World Cup winning team as well. Surprising with the history and how long the World Cup's been around, there's never been a player that has played in a World, that's won a World Cup and coached a team as well. So this could be the first time that happens pretty, you know, as well.
I got a quick fun fact for you,
okay,
too.
Go ahead.
If Croatia wins today, that'll be a team that wins the World Cup every 20 years. Every 20 years is a World Cup winner.
Scored.
So this would make it a brand new World Cup winner if Croatia won. It's not looking that way with Antoine Griezmann.
You know what? Wait, you want to know why you can't say it's not looking that way? Croatia plays better from behind, don't they? I mean, let's talk about the World Cup and what they have done in the last three rounds. They have come from behind and won,
the
right?
The boosters kick in the second half, for sure, of course.
This team, that's what's really cool about them is somehow they do not get down. They stay in the game. They nickel and dime you to death. And eventually, when it's all said and done, they're celebrating at the end.
That may be an own goal.
Yeah, I think that was an own goal. Own goal. It looks like
own
it.
Goal.
Mario Mandzukic.
Yeah. Croatia put it in their own net. Well, you know what? Maybe he'll get it back.
It's early. It's a lot of game left.
You know, I'm looking forward to it. I got it recorded at home. We'll watch this game a little bit more when I get there. But, you know, what about the game yesterday, real quick, between Belgium and England? I got to see a little bit of it. I watched the highlights of the game. Do you think England really, that mentally, even though they really did outplay Belgium, they had more shots on goal, but mentally it looked to me at times from the little bit that I saw that they really checked out. After that loss to Croatia, they wanted it so bad that they didn't want third place. They could have given a crap whether they were third or fourth.
Well, I'll say this about England. I think they had a very fortunate road to get to the semifinals. They lost that last group game to Belgium. Probably a good decision on their end to not really show up and play that. But you look at their wins. They beat Panama, Tunisia, and Sweden. And then they beat Colombia on penalty kicks. In a game that really they were fortunate to win. Because the last hour of that game, Colombia was the better team. But I think with them, they scored 11 goals in the competition. And I think they scored 12 goals in the competition. And I think 11 of them came on free kicks, penalty kicks, or tap-ins. So they didn't really produce a whole lot of highlight real goals that made you say, wow, this team's really good. I think they were fortunate. And again, England, another young team. But, you know, I think with them, Maybe they were, like you said, they just didn't care. I think once they were deflated, I think they felt like they should have beaten Croatia, although I thought, again, second half, Croatia was the much better side. But it was one of those things where with England, every year they seemed to underachieve, and finally they got to a point where they overachieved. And when it came down to it, They were beaten by two teams that were better than them.
Well, I think they're still going to end up getting a trophy, isn't it?
No, fourth place doesn't.
No. What I'm saying is not them as a team, an individual. Kane, isn't he going to get the golden boot or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah, he's Harry Kane will barring six goals, something crazy.
What has he got, six goals?
Yeah, I think he did have six goals.
And I think somebody for France,
Luka Modric have four?
Yeah, he might, yeah.
He'd have to have two goals to tie exactly. him for the golden boot today. That's what I heard. So, real quickly, guys, before we go to break, I want to ask you this. The big thing is, and I've been taking a lot of crap from friends of mine out there that are Mexican, that are reminding me when I say, you know, I was joking about the Mexican, making some jokes about the Mexican team, and, you know, they got this far, and I keep getting reminded the United States didn't play in the World Cup this year. So other than the fact that we know we're going to be hosting a World Cup, what is that, in 8 years from now?
Yes.
We're going to be hosting, so we're guaranteed a spot then. Is that the next time the U.S. is going to get in the World Cup, or do you think in 4 years they'll put together a team to make some kind of a run to get back in again?
I think they will make it in 4 years, but not by virtue of the fact that they're much improved. I think just by the fact that CONCACAF, Costa Rica is going to fall off. They've got a lot of guys who are aging. You know, and for your Mexican friends, you could always remind them that if not for the U.S. scoring two goals that they didn't need to score against Panama 4 years ago, Mexico doesn't make the World Cup. So
thank you for reminding us.
Yes.
One of them's right here, by the way.
I don't forget those things. But, you know, the biggest problem with the U.S. and the U.S. Soccer Federation, and until they get it straightened out, and for, you know, the reality is the U.S. lost to Trinidad and Tobago 9 months ago, and they're in the same exact spot today that they were 9 months ago. There's no organization at the top. The entire premise of profit ahead of performance is disgraceful. That doesn't happen in other countries. MLS has destroyed the U.S. soccer team. And I know people will argue and say, well, you know,
it's given these guys,
what it's doing is it's forcing good American players to come home when they should be playing in Europe. Guys like Clint Dempsey. He never should have left the Premier League, which is the best league on the planet. Michael Bradley, you could clearly see, and Jose knows, he watches a lot of soccer. Michael Bradley, 8 years ago when he was playing with Roma, people were talking about him as one of the better midfielders in the world. He leaves Roma because he wasn't getting all the playing time that he wanted. Should have gone to another team in Europe. Then he goes to Toronto. Big deal. He's playing in MLS. When you watch him on the national team, his performance is nowhere near what it was 8 years ago.
Because he's not playing with the same type of, you know, talent out on the field.
They don't have to fight day in, day out.
I understand.
For a job. When you're fighting with a guy from Poland or from Croatia or from Bosnia who needs this job to put food on his table to feed his family, when you're fighting with that guy for a job, you're going to be better. Because you have to be better.
MLS,
he doesn't have to be better.
I understand that, but I still say, like I said earlier, I think the MLS deserves a great deal of credit for the popularity growth of soccer in the United States.
I don't know what their ratings are like because I'm just telling you,
you look at last year's Gallup poll and this year's and the expansion of the MLS, it coincides with the numbers. Listen, we got to take a break. I want to let you know, coming up on the other side of the break, Jose definitely teased it at the beginning of the show, but but the Golden Knights, another, not really a move. I think a reward and very justifiable. We'll talk about that after the break. Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com, is going to talk a little bit about the Summer League. We've got Rashad Vaughn. I went one-on-one with him yesterday at the Thomas and Mack. We'll hear that as well. Jim Gemma's coming up on the show a little bit later on to do our 51s report. And we still have Blazin', if I'm not mistaken, and again, Nightcap around the corner. And we got to talk a little bit about the Major League All-Star Game, man. I'm wearing the jersey. All that and more, this is Out of Line.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Yeah, the puck doesn't start here. It stops here. The last line of defense for the Vegas Golden Knights, Marc-Andre Fleury, awarded a three-year extension going through the 2022 season. He'll get about $7 million a year. He already had two more years on his contract. Look, guys, he deserved the extension. I'm telling you this, and I said this before, and I'll say this again with Marc-Andre Fleury. What he did for this city and this town was unbelievable this past year. Hats off to the guy, but I want to tell you my opinion in Nightcap right now. I think Fleury's going to continue to give the Golden Knights a decent chance, but remember something. Nobody probably had a bigger chip on their shoulder than Fleury. Even though he got a lot of money, even though he was the face of this franchise, Marc-Andre Fleury was basically cast off by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Last year, when Murray got hurt, Fleury took them to the Stanley Cup Finals, and then they brought Murray back in and put him between the pipes to even disrespect him more in his mind. No matter what he says, Fleury's the nicest guy you'll ever meet. He's not going to ever say he was disrespected. He's always going to say he was happy. But the bottom line is, he played one with the chip on his shoulder, and he, I'm not going to say by any means single-handedly, the Knights did it cumulatively as a team, but Marc-Andre Fleury was such a huge part of that. Don't expect it anymore. He's going to be 34 next year. He's seven concussions deep in his NHL career. He's one concussion away from retirement, and the chip is off his shoulder. He's proved himself as one of the greatest goaltenders of all time. I think he has cemented himself in Toronto's National Hockey League Hall of Fame when he retires, and I think we will see a severe drop-off in play, maybe this year, if not next year. And people, I'm not saying it, I'm not hating or anything, I'm just being realistic. Father time catches up with you. Mother nature is a bisach. And the bottom line is, my mom used to always say, you know, she got older, she never looked in mirrors. And I'm like, Mom, what is the deal with you and mirrors? And she goes, you know, mother nature is the B word, okay? I'm not going to put that one on the radio. I'll say ass, but I won't say the B word. I think it's a bad one. But she would say, you know, I still, in my mind, I think that I'm like 30 years old and I'm running around, I'm feeling good. Then I go past the mirror and I'm like, who the hell is that old lady? And I think that's mother nature, man. My mom used to tell me, you know, she's in the rearview mirror. And when you're a young man, you don't see her. You know, you're young, you see this little speck. And as you get older, wow, there she is, man. She wasn't kidding me. And every year she gets a little bit closer. And you realize she's got this big hammer in her hand. And it says, and she's waving it at me, trying to nail me with it, right? And I'm looking back. Now I can read the thing. And it says the law of gravity. And one day it's going to whack me and everything just kind of drops down to the ground, right? That's the law of gravity. Well, that's what Mother Nature does to you. So she catches up with everyone. I remember an article, or I should say the cover of Sports Illustrated. I've mentioned it before in basketball with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. The last championship the Lakers won with him, and it said, the Sports Illustrated cover said, doing fine at 39. And a year later, you know what it said? It just won't go at the big 4-0. That's the way it works, man. That's Mother Nature.
Now, I have a question for you. When it comes to that contract, obviously, they're hoping that he can play. But like you said, the concussions, the age, all of that is there. So you think it's going to be also a huge mentorship for the other goalkeepers that they have coming up, like Subban, that's right behind him within these next 3 years?
Oh, for sure. I think Fleury, and you know what? Fleury is the kind of guy that will mentor these goaltenders and will help them out. I just don't know if Fleury continues to play at the level we saw him play at last year. I don't know how long he can keep a guy like Malcolm Subban on the bench where he's not going to start getting a little bit disenchanted, getting a little bit impatient, because the bottom line is you want to play. And every year that goes by is a year that you get older and you get a lot of experience in practice, but there is nothing like game experience. And Malcolm Subban nor anyone else got 1 minute of game experience in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Not 1 minute.
Well, you know, and here's the thing with that position. Some guys, they're resigned to the fact that they're going to be career backups. To me, Malcolm Subban is not a guy who's a career backup. I think Malcolm Subban could play in the
NHL. If he has an ego like his brother, well, he's going to need to get on the ice pretty soon.
You know what? And I don't think he does. I think he's a pretty he understands.
It's because he's not playing, Mags. When he starts playing, I think.
But the point is, he's not a guy who I think is a career backup. He's a guy who I think can play in the league. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy who will play in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think the same of Oscar Dansk. I think the Golden Knights are in a really good position. Where
Ferguson.
Well, you know, he's an 18, 19-year-old
kid. That's what
kid,
I'm saying. He's got all kinds of upside, too, to be that young.
Yeah, because...
Max, we're so deep at goaltender right now, and I say we, but the Golden Knights.
I do think that at some point, Malcolm Subban will be a starting goaltender somewhere in the NHL, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Well,
I think Oscar Dansk is... You know, and I don't know the specifics of the contracts, but they re-signed Oscar Dansk as well. And... I'm not sure if they have the capability in this contract to move him back and forth to the AHL. You're not going to carry three goalies, and clearly you're not going to send Subban to the AHL because he would never clear waivers.
Never clear waivers.
So it's going to be a very interesting training camp because Max Lagasse is another guy.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about him.
Who played a lot.
Max Lagasse, without him, Mags, do they even do what they did this year?
They're probably not a playoff team without Max Lagasse. The
bottom line is Fleury went down for 31 games.
You know,
without Lagasse, who really stepped up to the plate, God knows where this team is because they probably finish. They might still make the playoffs, but maybe they're the sixth seed instead of winning their division.
You know, the thing is, I think Lagasse out of all of them is probably the fourth best goalie.
It's crazy.
He
still has potential to be an everyday goalie in the National Hockey League.
So you know, from that standpoint, it's a position of strength, which is why I think George McPhee was comfortable giving. Fleury, the extension. You know, George McPhee is not a guy who's just starting in this business. He's been around a long time. And I think for Golden Knights fans who may question whether or not Fleury deserved the extension or if they're worried about it, you got to trust George McPhee. The guy built two teams that played in the Stanley Cup Finals this year. He knows what he's doing.
I will 100%. I will never undercut the mastermind or say anything about him. George McPhee, as I've said many times, is the orchestra leader and put this team together. And it started with him. It was a great hire, Gerard Gallant, and of course an ex-Red Wing, huge fan. It was just a magical season. Listen, I want to get out to the phone lines. Let's do our LV Sports Minute, LV Sports Biz Minute. Let's say that. We've got Alan Snell, the founder, the main contributing writer of LVSportsBiz.com. And as he corrected me last week, 90,000 subscribers deep now. Alan, welcome to the show, man, and we're going to talk some NBA Summer League. You've been down there. You've been writing some articles. We talked last week. I love the article about bikes for big guys. And this week, what we got going?
Well, we have something that has been going at the NBA Summer League for a few years, and it's kind of cool. They like to experiment with technology, and the... one of the two cool things they've done this year has been this overhead camera that they use for kind of a video game style presentation or format of the game, where the camera is about 32 feet above the floor and it's trailing the action, and it gives the viewer kind of a look you would see if you're watching a video game. And the person who heads the media and technology for the NBA really fell in love with this technology literally decades ago, and when he saw it in action with the NFL, and it looks like the NBA will adopt this kind of Skycam overhead look for future games. They're experimenting with that this week. There's a story about that earlier this week. And also another interesting, funny, little quirky technology advancement is a vertical feed game where the format...
Uh-oh. You can ask me the question, Mags. What were you going to say about the camera?
I don't want to have it to Alan. I'll give him a call back. But that Skycam, you know,
it's so cool.
We joke and mock about the XFL, but they were actually the ones who introduced that into the sporting
world.
They
implemented it.
Vince McMahon got, you know, that was one of the things that Vince McMahon had right in the XFL.
Helmet cam, too. Yeah, they did the helmet cam in the XFL.
Not the stupid, you know, rolling the ball and guys chasing it where a guy blows out his knee in the first game or whatever it was, but... Yeah, that Skycam was actually brought into existence by the XFL.
I've been watching it at the Thomas and Mack, and I will tell you right now, it is way cool. I've wanted to, like, get a seat on top of it because it really rotates. It'd be fun to work.
It goes all over the court. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
I got to believe, you know, that takes some training, like an air traffic controller to work that thing around. Alan, we got you back. Oh, we lost him again. Yeah, we might have lost him again. Well, listen, Max, hey, we'll get Alan on next week. I know the article. Check out lvsportsbiz.com. Become one of the 90,000-plus subscribers. Alan Snell is at every single event in town, a bike enthusiast, and this guy absolutely does it like there's no. What were you trying to tell me?
So they did a VAR, and they did a challenge, and they found that it was a handball in the box, and France is shooting a penalty now.
Good. And the score is now 2-1 France. So this could maybe be a high-scoring game. Should be a lot of fun. But, Alan, appreciate you joining the show. Listen, we got to take another break. We'll come back. As I said, on the other side of this break, stick around. You will hear Rashad Vaughn. Most of us haven't heard him here in 3 years. 17th pick a couple of years ago by the Milwaukee Bucks. And it just shows you these guys like Rashad Vaughn. And one thing I want to say about him as we go to break, and we'll come back with the interview. You know, when I met Rashad a couple years ago, it was nice. You know, got to see him at the Summer League. Hadn't seen him in a few years. I'm not, you know, he knows it. If he's listening right now, because he was cocky. He knows he was cocky because he knew he was going to be a first-round pick in the NBA. And he was like one of those, you know, McDonald's All-Americans that comes in here and, you know, he didn't make it. To this point, he is struggling. Last year, he signed two 10-day contracts with Orlando after bouncing around a little bit. First 10-day contract, he was just starting to get his feet underneath him, and then he hurts his knee. And you can't, on a 10-day contract in the NBA, you can't hurt your knee, man, because, you know, the NBA, you're out. It's that simple. And Rashad's now with the Miami Heat. I hope he gets a shot. He had 10 points in yesterday's loss. I liked it. Also, Ike Nwamu, I saw playing for the Miami Heat Mags. And Christian Wood, I saw also playing there, put him up on Facebook today, but it's nice to see some of the UNLV guys, but all these guys, Mags, they got bad advice, man. They really did. Guys like Christian Wood, he stays in school 2 more years, and I don't care even if it's here at UNLV. You learn how to play the college game and maximize your skill level there before you move on. All these guys that leave UNLV, where the hell are they, Chris? They're gone.
Well, we could be honest. Look, you can make the case that the guys who have had the most success from UNLV since the era of J.R. Ryder and those guys, Joel Anthony and Lou Amundson. And those guys played under Lon Kruger. Both of them graduated. I mean, think about it. Joel Anthony. The guy came in from a JUCO.
Yeah.
He was so bad as a junior that he had to redshirt between his junior and senior. When do you ever hear a guy redshirting between his junior and senior year?
You don't.
Well, and he won an NBA title.
He won two.
Yeah.
He won two with Heat.
LeBron James.
And you know, the other thing is, look, Pat McCaw has done pretty well for himself.
I love Pat McCaw. Yeah.
He's awesome.
He dropped off a bit last year.
Pat McCaw did not come out as a freshman. Remember, Pat McCaw stayed 2 years.
He did. And Pat McCaw also grew up with a father that was a great high school coach in St. Louis. So he grew up being coached by somebody that understood it. And so it didn't surprise me at all.
The one guy, though, that I truly feel for, because I think when you make the decision to jump from college to the NBA.
It's Big Zim, isn't it?
No. No, look, when you make that decision and you don't pan out, that's on you and you only, because it's your decision. The guy who I feel bad for was a guy who did not have a choice, and that's Derrick Jones Jr., because the NCAA screwed him.
They did. You're right. He had serious hops.
But none of that, but he can't stay healthy now. He played in the summer league, he twisted his ankle. Yeah. You know, he was doing extremely well. He just signed a contract with the Heat as well. But I think he's a guy, I think he will make it, because I think he's a playmaker. I think he's explosive. But he's the one guy.
Gotta stay healthy.
The one guy out of all those Dave Rice recruits that I truly feel bad for is him. The guys who leave after, make the decision to leave, you know what? If you don't make it, that's on you.
Well, I still think they're getting bad advice. I think a lot of these guys get really bad advice.
Bad advice or not, once you get to this level, and Christian Wood is a perfect example.
He is.
I thought it was crazy that he left. He's made it. I mean, he was on a roster last year. But he worked his ass off to get there.
He did.
He had to do it the hard way. And some of these guys, they may not be willing to do it the hard way.
Some of the biggest tragedies, and I mentioned it, was like Big Zim.
Well, look at Anthony Bennett.
I mean, 7 feet tall, you know, Yeah, well, Anthony Bennett, I don't feel bad for number one down who made a ton of money.
But he may go down as the biggest bust
number one
in NBA history.
Yeah, he's the Jamarcus Russell of the NBA.
I mean, look, 100%. There have been some pretty big. Michael Olowokandi was a pretty big country. Bryant Reeves was another gigantic.
Olowokandi played for a while though.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, with Bennett, he had a very hard time even.
He just couldn't adjust. It's sad. Listen, we got to take a break.
Break time.
We will come back. We've got on the other side again. We'll hear from Rashad Vaughn. We got some blazing going on. Las Vegas 51's report. We'll get to with Gemma, and we'll try to squeeze in some All Star Game talk as well, because I definitely want to talk about the MLB All Star Game coming up on Tuesday. You are listening to this Fox Sports Radio, and it's Out of Line.
This is pop music. We are writing and recording pop music.
What you hear? You hear?
This is pop music.
So talking to Rashad Vaughn after a summer league game, kind of an unfortunate loss so you guys don't get another one here, but how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, man. We came out, we fought hard, you know. It's a tough ending, but, you know, it's fun.
How about you personally coming back again to the Thomas and Mac? Is it a little bit special for you coming in here?
It's always special, man, to be able to just play in this specific gym again. Had a lot of great memories here. So to be able to just play on this floor and be in this arena is good for me.
In all seriousness, you drafted 17th by the Bucks a couple of years back. Do you wish you would have hung in college more? Are you happy with your decision at this point?
No, I think I'm happy with my decision. Like I said, never regret anything I've done. So, I think I made a good decision.
How you feeling the knee? I know last year you got the two 10-day contracts in Orlando. Really high hopes for that. And then you have the sore knee, which kind of really screwed you over there. How you feeling now? And do you feel like a new lease on life this year with the Heat?
I'm feeling good, man. Just to be able to kind of control my own destiny and just kind of see what's out there. I just want to be able to get opportunity to be able to play and kind of show what I could do. So the Heat let me come and play summer league with them. It was definitely a blessing.
What are they saying to you as far as, you know, you're just kind of waiting to see how the summer league plays out, whether you get a contract or the G League or you end up on the roster?
I'm just kind of waiting to see how it plays out. Wait, sit back and, you know, just get back in the lab and just wait on whatever happens.
So from here, this is done. You're done with the summer league now. So, again, it's just talking to your agent, waiting on a phone call. And one of the guys they had on the radio here recently talked about, I apologize, Rashad, I can't remember who it was, but who you're working out with now, a guy that you've kind of gone under his wing, and it seems to have really helped you out and improved your physical presence as well as your game.
Yeah, definitely, man. We've been Chauncey, man. We've been in the gym, man, you know, all summer. He's been pushing me mentally and physically like a big brother, you know what I'm saying, real blessing. So, you know, he just been pushing me all summer to get better, and, you know, now summer league's over, we're going to get back at it.
Last thing, in the interview I heard with him, he said you were pushing him. He's like, Rashad's like, I'm going to be there at 5:30 in the morning, and that was you. And that says a lot for your work ethic, and you are just going to do everything in your damn power to make this thing work, aren't you?
Most definitely, man. Like, I've been before, been down before, been up. You know, it's a part of life, part of the process, man, and it's just about how I'm built, and, you know, I'll be where I'm at for sure.
Listen, my friend, I wish you the best of luck. I hope we see you wearing one of these uniforms in the show pretty soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you're not. Thought a line. This is Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. A stone's throw from Centennial Hills Hospital. They have two happiest hours every day. America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. That is Buffalo Wild Wings. It is blazing. And, yeah, the Summer League has been blazing, man. It's been really cool. It's been on fire. And we've seen some great play. Different players, guys like Mo Wagner out of the University of Michigan, playing for the Los Angeles Lakers. He has been really a pleasant surprise to me. I wasn't aware of how quick he was. Great footwork from this kid. I already knew he had a perimeter game, and he can play from the outside, being a guy that's about 6'10". But what we learned about Mo Wagner in summer league, or at least I did, not just his great footwork, and that he's able to play a little bit with his back to the back. basket. Mo Wagner can play some defense, and he is absolutely emotional. He gets enthusiastic. He gets pumped up, and I really like it. And I think in 2 or 3 years, you could see him be a regular guy on the floor for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think he is going to be something special. And I just like what I'm seeing in the Summer League. I think we're not seeing as big of turnouts as we did last year, and I'm a little bit surprised about that. But what we are seeing is still some good young talent and some people that I'm looking forward to seeing. I'll tell you what, DeAndre Ayton of the Phoenix Suns is every bit as advertised. Granted, we're not seeing him against solid NBA talent right now, but let me tell you something. In a couple months, watch out for the Phoenix Suns. This is a team of the future, and DeAndre Ayton out of Arizona is everything.
Sleeper team for sure, man.
I'm telling you right now, young talent like there is no tomorrow. They pick up some veterans as well this year in free agency. Look out for the Suns. And something else I got to tell you, Blazin', I was up all night. Now, usually Saturday night, I'm up all night working on the show. I was stuck on ESPN and the final table at the World Series of Poker. Do you know that the final table, what was it, 9 hours? Over 9 hours, heads up. When they got down to two players, 9 hours these guys played. I think it's the longest in history. It was really interesting. Almost every hand was good. These guys were, it was like watching a heavyweight prize fight. They went back and forth. They impressed the hell out of the pros. The guy who actually won it, this guy, Johnny Sin, who won the $8.8 million, 2 years ago, he finished 11th in the World Series Poker. So he's accumulated, and he got like $650,000, and he's blown it all. In the 2 years, he's blown his $650,000. Well, he just picked up $8.8 million and one of the largest and most blinged out bracelets I've ever seen in my life. But what a battle between him and Tony Miles. Tony takes $5 million for second place. But, man, you wanted to see some great poker. And I'll tell you what, I learned a lot watching I learned a lot watching the World Series this year. Some of the ways to play and listening about aggressiveness. And one thing I learned, people, don't do this. Phil Helmy said to, I'm saying don't do it. I'm being facetious. Play your draws. And a good friend of mine has been telling me, Brian, play your draws, play your draws. So I'm going to play my draws now, man. I'm done with this. I watched too many times the draws hit for Johnny Sin in the World Series of Poker. And you got to play your draws. Flush draws, straight draws, play them, man. Give them a shot. So that's Blazin'. Blazin' again brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 and North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. Mags, give Jimmy, is he on? We got Jimmy on? Okay, good deal. We're going to go to our Las Vegas 51s report. 51s having some decent games. If nothing else, they have been very entertaining this year. Mags, and I think we talked about it last week on the show, one of the comebacks they had this year. Did you go to that game?
I was at the game a couple weeks ago where they were down 9-1 and came back ended up losing, I think, 14-12 or something like that, but they tied it up in the eighth inning. So
you've seen a lot of offense.
And Jim can verify, but I believe it was the longest nine-inning game in 51's history.
Jim Gemma, Director of Media Relations for the Las Vegas 51s, joins us now for our 51s report. The Las Vegas 51s, they are out of this world. And Jimmy, was that the longest game in 51's history?
Seemed like it was the longest game ever, but no, it was one of the longest games, but it was the longest nine-inning game this year. With that being said, the 51s, 23 games ago, were 28-42. Since then, they've gone 17-6. They're now 45-48, and only six games separate El Paso, Salt Lake, Las Vegas, and Albuquerque. So all of a sudden, with tonight's the game 94, it's our last game of this brief four-game homestand. We had some rain drama last night, but we got a five-and-a-half-inning rain-shortened game in. So the team's playing really well.
They're playing the Albuquerque Isotopes. You got a chance, one more chance before they head out of town for a little bit over a week tonight at 7 o'clock out at Cashman. Get out there. They're out of town this week, and they're playing, I think, Salt Lake, and then they go to Reno, Jimmy. They get a day off next Monday, and then they come back for a pretty decent homestand against Nashville and Memphis.
Here's a team you really want to see the next homestand. Nashville's coming in. They're the Triple-A affiliate of the A's, but the Memphis Redbirds come in The July 27th to the 30th. They're 58-35 this year. They're leading the American Southern Division, but they were 90-51 last year. They were AAA champs. So the Cardinals organization have some great talent. They have a 58-35 record in the ever-ending roster carousel of AAA baseball. It should be good. We have a lot of St. Louis fans here in town, so it should be a really good homestand. The one coming up after this road trip, like you said, with it's nice when you get to play the other teams because they only come in every other year. So we'll have Nashville and Memphis in from July 24th through the 30th. And obviously this time of year, all these games are at 7 o'clock.
And Nashville coming in, they've got a couple games. They come into town, I believe, Tuesday the 24th of July. The 26th is going to be Dollar Beer Night out at Cashman. And then Memphis, Jim's talking about the St. Louis Cardinals AAA affiliate. Well, Friday night, there'll probably be fireworks on the field, but then there's going to be fireworks off the field after the game. So you definitely want to get down and check out the 51s. And maybe they need to be bringing up some of the Memphis team, Jimmy, to the big leagues because if you didn't hear, they just got rid of their manager right before the All-Star break.
Absolutely, and also something for Magnum, obviously, to be at the game on Friday, July 27th. We are proud to announce the Dylan and Dakota Gonzalez from the Lady Rebels are going to be singing the national anthem.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that's worth coming out.
Price
for
of admission
just there.
All by itself.
Mags yes, will be absolutely. The first one there. So we're happy to announce that.
We got to get the Dylan and Dakota for Gonzalez bobblehead night.
Hey, Jimmy, I had a question for you. Can you give us an update on the stadium real quick?
Yeah, you know, if you go to lv51.com, go on the construction link. They are moving swiftly. One side of the stadium wall's in. The third base dugout's in. The frame of the 51's clubhouse is in. So you can start to see this transform. If you go on our website, click on the construction cam, it's in real time. So they're moving right along, and they're right on schedule for a February of 2019 completion. The best thing we have here, you know, we don't have a lot of weather issues, and you know how fast they build stuff here in Las Vegas.
I've never seen anything like it. The City National Arena went up crazy. T-Mobile itself, no doubt about it. I can't wait to see the new stadium when it's completed. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director, Las Vegas 51s. As always, Jimmy, appreciate you joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll see you out at Cashman in the very near future. Almost out of time, I want to mention one of the other things for Blazin' I didn't mention was, if you didn't see it yesterday, Manny Pacquiao at 39 years old scores his first knockout basically in his 30s since 2009, since he scored the last one. Fifth round, two more knockdowns. It's a TKO, and he wins the welterweight championship, man.
The WBA welterweight championship.
WBA.
First time in 8 months and 8 years.
Career victory for Manny Pacquiao. At one point in time, Mags, I think Pacquiao was probably pound for pound the best fighter in the world at one point in time.
There was a time. However, that time was about 12 years
ago. You're right. It was 12 years ago.
So, you know, the thing is, look.
Some guys just like getting hit in the face.
Look, Pacquiao is not what he was, obviously. And clearly, he's not the draw that he used to be, because quite honestly, people think he's washed up. He's fighting nobodies. You know, he
you know what, though, with Manny Pacquiao,
the nice thing is, if you have the ESPN app, you could have watched the fight for free.
Yeah, I saw it, yeah.
You know, I
that's really cool.
I was a big Pacquiao fan. I've already gone through it again on this show. I won't go through it again as to why I'm no longer a Pacquiao fan, but, you know, I said it last year when he lost to Chris Horn. Jeff Horn, hang it up, dude.
Yeah, I know. You're done. And not only that, this fight was 5 years too late. These guys were in their prime 5 years ago.
We're out of time. Manny Pacquiao, here's the bottom line. There's something these guys have. It's like, you know, it's something they enjoy about getting hit. And I'm serious. Punch drunk's what happens after the fact.
I think part of it, too, is Pacquiao has been hit by so many pariahs in the Philippines taking his money that he basically just needs to keep making money to give money away to these people.
Listen, I want to thank everyone. Want to thank everyone for joining the show to this Out of Line. We are here every Sunday on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. It is the home of the Vegas Golden Knights during the season. We'll talk more about that. Major League All-Star game coming up Tuesday night. Tomorrow and Wednesday, the only days you don't bet in the United States other than on horse racing. We'll be back next week. Thank everyone for joining the show. Rashad Vaughn, appreciate you. Jim Gemma, Alan Snell, Magnum, Jose Vellante, and, of course, Bill and JD for coming in and being a live part of a live audience. We're out.